most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have a show on sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. This is going to take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests, and our shows are also available for download on iTunes. We're under the podcast section, it's all the same. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. If you want to find out about our future guests, we are booked for the rest of the year. Hippity, hippity, hooray. If you want to see who's going to be on, you want to go to the official Question Reality website, and that's questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. Now, as you know, we have incredible guests every week, and sometimes we have superstars, and that is who we have on now. He will be very embarrassed, and he's 14 shades of red now, but I consider him my little superstar for today. His name is Jim Beaver, and I have anticipated and been excited for this so long, but he's so busy. I know a couple of you said, he was supposed to be on this date. I listened in. Well, he's on today, so it's all good. Don't worry. He's here. Jim Beaver, he is an actor, writer, critic, columnist, and he is one of the stars of the hit television show Supernatural that comes on the CW Thursday nights, I think 9.
Friday.
Oh my God, they used to come on Thursday. Now it's Friday. Oh no, we got to talk about that. That's the death slot. What the hell did they put my show on Friday nights for? I didn't even know. I record everything. I never know what the hell night it comes on. I met Jim Beaver. He was in a 10-minute play. He was at the Secret Rose Theater, and a friend of mine was in one of the plays, and he came out, and I said, wow, that guy really looks like Bobby Singer from Supernatural. I said to my husband, is that Bobby Singer? No, that can't be Bobby Singer. Yeah, it looks like him. Sure enough, halfway through his scene, I said, son of a, that's Bobby Singer. And then I had to whip out the program, and sure enough, it's Jim Beaver. And I said, oh my God, I got to touch that man, because he's one of my favorite characters next to the hot, sexy Jensen Ackles, who I'm going to try to get Jim to pull one of his hairs out of his head, and he won't do it, but maybe I can maybe hypnotize him at the end of the show. But Jim, I love the character Bobby Singer, as many of you have sent emails and said he is your favorite character on the show too. Well, he is going to talk to us today. We're here actually because he's, as I said, he's a writer, and he has a new book called Life's That Way, and we're going to talk about the book. But if you want to find out more about it, you can go to the website. It's lifesthatway.com, and you can read a little bit more about it. You can also find out about Bobby Singer. Bobby Singer, Jesus Christ, he's going to hit me in the head. Jim Beaver, a.k.a. Bobby Singer, by going to the Supernatural website, or you can go to imdb.com and you can find out everything you need to know about him. But let me tell you first, we're going to talk to him in a couple minutes. Let me tell you first about a wonderful, super intensive actor's workshop with casting director Eric Salier. And this class is May 19th. 12th, 19th, and 26th. It's a special 3-session intensive. And if you've ever taken classes from Eric, you know that he breaks down the TV drama casting process and he gives each actor a career boost in that area. So you can check him out on imdb.com. And you'll see that he casts a ton of drama, and he has a unique way of teaching actors how to audition for TV dramas where you learn to book it. Yeah, book it when you audition. I mean, getting auditions are really tough, as you know, as an actor. Why not book the damn thing when you get in there? Don't waste your time getting the audition. Say, oh, well, it was a learning experience. Well, book the damn thing and you got more experiences to come. And actors really rave about Eric and his ability to push you to the next step in the audition level. So those of you who attend his class, you know that you've reported that you get more bookings almost immediately. And again, this 3-week active intensive class, it's going to be May 12th, 19th, and 26th. Go to the actorsiteworkshop.com, and that's actorsiteworkshop.com, and you can learn more about what's going on, and you can actually get your tickets and pay for it and find out everything. So, all right, here we go. Woo! All right, this week, Jim Beaver, character actor. He's best known for his leading roles on the TV series Deadwood and Supernatural. He obtained a degree in theater and worked for 5 seasons with the Dallas Shakespeare Festival. He began to make appearances in bit roles in films and television shows shot in the Dallas area, including Semi-Tough and Dallas. And he worked in stock and dinner theaters and also maintained a side career as a critic, a columnist, and a feature writer for Films and Review, which is the magazine of the National Board of Review. And then he got an assignment for an article on TV Superman George Reeve, and this led him to Los Angeles. And he went on to have a successful period as a television writer, penning episodes for shows such as Vietnam Story, Tour of Duty, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And he was nominated for a Cable Ace Award. And then in 1988, he landed a substantial supporting role as Bruce Willis's best friend, an alcoholic Vietnam veteran in Norman Jewison's production of In Country. Oh boy, do I love Bruce Willis. Oh, I got to ask him some juicy questions about him. And he was, Mark Harmon. Yes, he was Mark Harmon's chain-smoking detective partner, Earl Gaddis, on Reasonable Doubts, and Ed Asner's dim-witted mechanic assistant, Leland, on Thunder Alley. It's so hard to imagine Jim Beaver playing dim-witted because he's just so bright and bushy-tailed. But what are you going to do? He can play anything. He was frequently cast in Westerns. I can totally see that because he's macho, and he's gonna kill me for that. He's sitting here, claws are growing out of his fingertips right now, people. One of the Westerns was Geronimo, an American Legend, Bad Girls, among others. He was also cast as detectives and sheriffs, police officers, like in Sister Act and Sliver and Joyride. I saw Sister Act and Sliver. I got to go back and watch those again just to see my little Jim Beaver. Now, after 2 seasons on Third Rock from the Sun as French Stewart's sullen bar owner boss, Happy Doug, Jim landed his most prominent and critically acclaimed role, and that was Ellsworth, the gruff but decent and beloved prospector in the landmark Western series Deadwood. Oh, Lord, Deadwood. Oh, I love that title, Deadwood. He was nominated along with other cast members for a 2006 Screen Actors Guild Award, and he found his career was in high gear. And currently, as you know, he stars along with other cast members for Supernatural, and that is, he's sort of like a father figure role, I would say, for Demon Hunter. God, I only know them by their names. Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles, and Sam and Dean. Woo! Oh, my Lord. Okay. And he plays their like he's a father figure. I mean, without him, in my mind, he has such a pivotal role because I think that he really brings that show together. I really don't see personally how that show would work without them having someone to ground them, but that's just a personal opinion, and I'm all into the supernatural thing, so we'll talk about that. But he has a worldwide fan base, and he has a secondary career making personal appearances. Now that I know that, I'm saving up some money, because you know I have my big birthday parties every year, and I may possibly be able to afford maybe $100,000, $200,000 to get them. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk, because as a writer, Jim's latest book is a best-selling memoir, and it's titled Life's That Way, and it's available, I believe, and he may be able to tell us more, but I believe it's available at Amazon.com and probably at most bookstores. So, again, it's Life's That Way, and that's the title of the website, Life's That Way. And without further ado, let's talk to the hot, sexy, flickering, titillating Jim Beard. He's looking at me like, where's he? Who the hell is she talking about?
I'm afraid the hot, sexy, titillating Jim Beaver didn't show up today.
Jim Beaver, yay! Yeah! Jim, now that I've given you that intro, you got to make us very, very excited to hear your voice. Can we hear your best sexy voice? Hello, it's Jim Beaver. Something like that. Give me something sexy.
Hello, Priscilla.
Oh, I feel like I'm ready to go gold panhandling now. I don't know. It sounds like he's got a gun in my back. That's very Western. I don't know. Now, I always start with the same question with every guest. Jim Beaver was...
Where'd you get that dress?
Yeah, he is wearing a little yellow polka dot bikini under this dress he's got on. But the first thing I always start with is asking... When little Jim Beaver was a little tiny baby boy and he was dreaming of what he wanted to be or to do when he grew up, what was he thinking that he was going to be or do?
I wanted to be a co-pilot.
Really? A co-pilot? You're lying. Get out of here. Oh, he has a wonderful sense of humor, by the way. He's been
either
in the studio since 4:30, and I love his humor. Co-pilot. Now, you
tell
us.
Either that or an assistant undersecretary of state.
How could you know what that is when you're 5 or 6?
Well,
what you wanted to be a cowboy, didn't you?
I don't remember that far back. I'm sure I must have wanted to be something, but...
So you don't remember necessarily wanting to be an actor?
I don't remember breakfast.
Oh, God, no! Oh,
this is going to be a long hour.
I can see it coming now. So it's not like you're going to go on this big diatribe about, oh, yes, I always knew there was a feeling that rose up in me. No feelings rose up.
I just wanted to eat.
Oh, you just wanted to eat? Well, that's not a profession to select if you want to eat. Right away?
I was misinformed.
So tell us, when you were little, you graduated from high school. Take us from when you were little, if you can remember that far back. We might have to go teens or 20s, whatever you can remember. And how did you get from there to here? How does one get from there to here?
Well, I remember my parents took me to see President Lincoln. And that's a joke.
Actually going to say the play or the movie?
No, the
play.
The guy. I was a preacher's kid, and I suppose seeing my dad up in front of the congregation every Sunday probably had some influence. But I didn't, and I did a little bit of, I did a few plays in elementary school, but I never really. I don't recall having any particular drive to be an actor. I was a movie buff. I wanted to be a film historian.
Ooh.
And because, you know, there's so much money in that.
And
I
think there's more chicks getting chicks than that.
Well, I got, I went in the Marines after high school. And when I got back from Vietnam, I went to college and... I couldn't find any classes in film history where I was looking, and I thought, well, theater's kind of close. Maybe I'll just take some theater classes, and that'll give me some grounding. And then I got asked to do a play, and I thought, oh, this is better than anything I've ever done in my entire life. And I got hooked. And hooked.
Now, what was it about doing that play that hooked you? What can you remember that...
I remember the experience. I remember we were doing The Miracle Worker, the play about Helen Keller. And I was the doctor. I had like six lines, and they were all at the beginning. I had the first line in the play. And I just remember standing up there in the dark, waiting for the lights to come up and start the play, and feeling the audience breathing out there. I couldn't see them, but I just remember thinking two things. One was, the play doesn't start until I talk. And the other thing I remember thinking is, this is the coolest thing I have ever done in my life. And this is what I want to do.
Is it because when you went out there, was it the getting the instant gratification of the clap?
I think it was the
clap?
Adrenaline.
Yeah, the adrenaline.
I didn't get the clap till later, but I...
When you got the clap, you liked the
clap, didn't you? No, you don't like the clap.
You didn't like the clap?
I liked the applause at the end of the play.
We're going to go through these jokes. But you liked that. That gave you
But I didn't... That was at the end of the play. At the beginning of the play, nobody had clapped.
You were terrified.
It was like jumping out of an airplane. It was great. I don't know what I felt. I just felt really good.
You felt that you found out that you were a secret thrill seeker, and you didn't realize it.
Yes and no.
Sometimes it's dormant, Jim.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's dormant. You don't know until somebody pushes you out of that airplane that you like skydiving.
Yeah.
You
or
know?
Falling.
Or falling out of it. Okay, so you do this play, and they clap, and you go, wow, you really love it. So what did you do to say, oh, I want that feeling again? What did you do
More plays.
Well, did you go to school?
Well, I was in school. Oh, I was in college doing... studying theater, and I started auditioning for every play that came along, and I was lucky. I got a lot of good parts early on in college, and a year later I auditioned for a professional production there in Oklahoma City where I was going to school, and I got a part in that, and so I got paid for the first time to act. I got paid $25 for 9 weeks' work.
Ooh.
And plus car fare.
Oh boy!
But hey, it was money.
They gave you a perk. That's right.
It was money.
That's right.
Therefore,
theater,
it was professional.
That's money. That's right.
So
Do you feel that you were more of a natural actor, or do you feel that when you were taking theater, you learned some tools?
Well, I learned a lot of tools, but I think most of them I learned from being on stage. From experience and having directors throw things at me, even more so than classes per se. I'm a big fan of classes, but my memory is that the things that I remember learning, the technique things, all came in the process of rehearsal, more so than just in class.
What do you feel a young person, this comes from Karen from Milwaukee, by the way, thank you, Karen. What do you feel a young person new to LA needs to focus on the most in order to pursue an acting career?
I would say that the most important thing for someone new in town would be to become part of a community of actors. And that generally involves getting involved in theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that somebody's going to come see you in a play and put you in the movies, although that occasionally happens.
Well,
doesn't happen as often as people want it to. But what it does is it puts you in the middle of a collective of people who are all looking for the same thing. Excuse me. And what you find is that you're doing work, even if it's work that doesn't pay. You're getting practice. You're honing your instrument, as they say. you're learning to be part of a unit, a theater unit, a group. But most importantly, I think what it gives you is contacts and a network. Because in my early days, most of my work came from getting a phone call from someone who said, I'm directing this play and so-and-so is in it. And she said, you might be good for this part. You want to come read for it.
Word of mouth.
And word of mouth, that's the only thing you've got going for you. So if you're sitting at home, sending out pictures and resumes, hoping that somebody opens them and calls you, and that's all you're doing, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
You've got to be out there in the world. And also, there's, you know, actors sitting around talking find out about the other things going on in town.
Right.
I would say that that community of actors, getting involved with one or more theater companies, is the very most important thing a young actor can do in town.
A lot of actors who come here, I being one of them, being from the East Coast, I found when I first came here, when I did community theater on the East Coast, you didn't have to pay to be part of a community theater. And a lot of times when you get involved in theater out here, you have to be part of a repertory group in which you have to pay dues. And a lot of people say, oh my God, that's so terrible that they make you pay to be part of a theater group. What is your feeling about that?
Well, I've been a member of a theater group, a dues-paying member of Theater West, for almost 30 years now. And first off, somebody's got to pay the rent on those buildings and pay the electric bill and pay the insurance. And, you know, if I had a zillion dollars lying around, I guarantee that I would either open a theater or endow a theater so they didn't have to charge people dues and they could just have a theater and people could come work in it. But the fact is, unless there's some support unit that's paying for all of that stuff, theater companies, just like people, have to have to pay to support themselves. And we've been a very successful company. I mean, we're the oldest membership theater company in Los Angeles, and it has been a home for me, well worth every cent I've ever sunk into it. And I think there's also something that I learned over years of being part of this group, and that's that putting a little money where your mouth is creates a sense of commitment in the actor. It's very easy to walk into a theater situation where you're just there for one show and you're not paying anything, you're not supporting the theater, you're just there to act, and if things don't go the way you want, well, it's real easy to walk away. And then maybe you benefit, maybe you don't, but that it's that community thing again.
Yeah,
it's it's being part of not just a network, but if you can arrange it, being part of an organization. And I would not trade anything for the experience of being a member of my company all these years, because practically everything good that's happened to me in my career has come as a direct result of being part of that group.
That's right. There is a lot of networking, and you learn a lot in
But I never got hired out of a play. Nobody ever came to see me in a play and said, oh, you're great, let's put you in this show.
you did, however, get chosen to be on a radio show because of that. So that you're on your way up.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's the next step.
From here on down, it's uphill all the
That's
way.
That's right. Now, this next question comes from Linda from New Jersey. Didn't say anything. She says, do you feel that working in theater while pursuing a career in film or television is the right thing to do or helpful?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because as I said before, there is that aspect of being part of a group and being part of people who are actively acting. Yeah. And but the other thing is, you know, certain amount of practice.
Oh, we have a caller. Oh my goodness, we have a caller on the line. We're going to take a couple. Hello, caller. You're on the line with Question Reality and Mr. Jim Beaver.
Hi, Priscilla. This is Betty Jo Tucker.
Hi, Betty Jo Tucker. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm enjoying the show very, very much. And I just had one question for Jim. I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but
sure.
he really sounds quite wonderful and knowledgeable.
He really is. He is so much more than what you think he is.
Tell my mother, please.
Go ahead and ask him any question. He can answer anything.
Well, wonderful. I just am so impressed with the versatility of roles that Jim has done successfully. And so what I was wondering is, what do you think, Jim, is the one most important personality characteristic needed to be a successful actor?
Personality characteristic. Okay. Well, let me answer that a little bit obliquely. I have two rules for when I'm working, and neither of those rules has much to do with acting per se. One of them is never, ever, ever hold up production. And the other rule, and this one is probably the closest to answering your question, the other rule I have is never, ever make them sorry they hired you.
Good advice.
I know that there are, you know, every actor's got a different approach to their work and a different process. And sometimes actors let that get in the way of everybody else having a good time at work. And I'm not saying people have to bend their process out of shape, but I am saying everybody's working very hard. And if your process is making it unpleasant or slowing things down, you're not going to work very often for those people.
What are some of the things that you're talking about? Maybe people are doing it and they don't know they're doing it.
Well, I think first and foremost, if you're on a set or if you're on a stage working, you are by definition incredibly lucky. And anybody who acts like they are unlucky to be there, anybody who isn't happy and is very happy to make other people unhappy, is, unless you've already hit it humongously big, is not going to have a long career, because people like working with people they like working with.
That's right.
And if I have a bad day personally, when I show up on the set, I do my very best to leave that in my trailer. To leave that in my dressing room, to leave it backstage, because it doesn't belong where the work is going on. And now I'm kind of by nature upbeat and friendly, but I also work at it.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work and I think, okay, I don't really want to be here today because
right.
I'm exhausted and I was out too late last night and this is happening and that's happening. Well, okay, that's got nothing to do with what I'm doing here.
I'm create a social mask.
Absolutely.
You really do.
So that's a long-winded way of saying people like to work with people who are nice to be
that's
around.
Right.
So don't be a jerk is what you're saying.
Don't be a jerk off.
And I can tell you, I've been on very few sets where there were jerks. But I've been on just enough to never want to be on one again. And if I'm hiring, I'm not in a position to hire anybody. But if I were, and I looked at a list of potential cast members, and I saw someone who had made my life miserable on another show, you know, I'm not hiring him. I've been fortunate enough to be asked my opinion of certain actors who were being considered for something. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to tell them just what I thought of certain actors.
That's the good part.
And I don't mean I don't mean bad to anybody, but if I'm given a choice, if somebody says, "Hey, Jim, have you ever worked with this guy before? And I had a miserable time working with him before," I'm not going to keep that a secret.
So does that answer your question, Miss Betty Jo Tucker?
Oh, that is a perfect answer, and I really thank you so much, Jim. And I'm just going to hang up now because I'm so eager to hear what else Priscilla is going to ask you and to hear
questions.
What else you're saying. You're both just wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
Your great work.
Thank you, Betty Jo Tucker. I love that name. I think I'm going to buy a boat and name it Betty Jo Tucker. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
We've got another call.
Okay, we have another call. Who is calling now? Who do we have on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Priscilla, it's Missy.
Hi, Missy. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I just called in to ask a question. I was listening to your show. I love it. It's great.
Thank you so much. Well, we have Mr.
I love it.
Thank you. We have Mr. Jim Beaver here today. Do you have a question for him?
I do. I'm so lucky that I got through. I want to ask you, if you're an older actress, say 40 or beyond, what can you do to increase your chance of getting more work in film and television? Because that's really what I want to do. And I have a lot of friends in my age bracket, and we would love to have more information on this.
Well, I really wish I had great information for you. One of the strange things I noticed over the years in my career is that the longer I did it, the harder it got in some ways.
Yeah.
And which was counterintuitive. I always figured, you know, you struggle to get a few jobs and you finally get some, and then the doors start opening all over the place. And that did happen to a certain extent with me after a while. But I will say this, as difficult as it was during the earlier years, I would not have wanted to have been a woman doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's so much tougher.
Yeah.
There are so many demands on actresses that actors never have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much more kind of meaningless rejection in the actress's life than there is in the man's. And I'm
so true, so well spoken. That's
yeah,
so
it
true.
Seems like frustrating. Men, it seems like men. Oh, it, the more the older they get, it just seems like they get more debonair or they get more part. There's always a part for a man.
More sophisticated, wiser. But if a woman gets gray or puts a few pounds on, or her skin starts to droop the tiniest bit, it's like she's done.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a huge problem in Hollywood.
She's not done. But she has moved into an area where the competition is its toughest.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are parts for women older than 22, there just aren't many of them.
Yeah.
And
we want to pick at the writers.
When you get older, that's when you get like smarter and you have more experience and you're more confident.
Well,
and
see,
you know, your character is really developed. But
you're confusing
just
real life with movie and TV.
Yeah.
Because there's a drive in film and television production to create this fantasy world out there where as many people as possible are incredibly beautiful and as many people as possible are incredibly young. And, you know, when you start seeing shows about 22-year-old lawyers with their own firm, you know that this ain't a reality show.
Right.
Now, I would love to get to the advice part of answering your question, but I'm not 100% sure I have strong advice other than one of the advantages of being a performer of our advanced years is that your competition starts dropping out. And
literally, they die off.
Well, not just die off, but people people begin to say, you know, I've worked my tail off for 20 years and I haven't gotten anywhere. I'm going to go do something else. And
right.
Those who persevere are the only ones who are going to be left standing. That's not much help, but it's a little
help. That's great, though. That's great. That's true.
Did that answer your question, Missy?
It did. I'm loving your show today. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
Thank
you for listening to the show, and call back with our next exciting guest, okay?
Okay.
Thank you,
Missy. I love your show.
Thank you, sweetie. Bye. Hi. Welcome to Question Reality. You are on the air.
Hi, Priscilla. It's Mason.
Hey, Mason. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. We have Jim Beaver in the studio today.
Oh, awesome.
And are you an actor?
I am an actor.
Okay.
Yes.
What lovely, interesting question do we have for Jim Beaver today?
Well, I was just thinking, I know Jim has had tons of TV credits, and I know he does film as well, but kind of like as an actor, between TV and film, which do you find more challenging? Both, it could be like maybe time-wise, it could be characterization. What do you find more challenging as an actor between those two?
That's a real good question. I say it's a real good question because I don't have a ready answer. They're very much two different beasts.
Exactly, yeah.
I've gotten a little bit addicted to the fast pace of television.
Exactly, yeah.
You look at the call sheet and you've got three or four or five or six scenes set for the day, and you get through them all. Whereas on a feature, you can spend three or four, five, 6 days doing one scene. There are probably actors who continue to find enormously wonderful new things on that fourth or fifth day. But I kind of dry up.
Right.
I spend half a day on a scene and I'm ready to move on. That said, there are some real luxuries in working in film and being able to take time and not feel that you have to get done, that you have to get this over with, good, bad, or indifferent. That's pretty terrific. The biggest challenge for me in television is that such a small percentage of it is really good television.
Right.
And I've been just so lucky to do extensive work on shows that were really, really well written. And I think that the real challenge is to go in and make a real character and make believable scenes out of the proverbial sow's ear, which comprises far too much television.
Right, right.
I don't know if that helps.
Does that help you, Mr. Mason?
It helps me tremendously, yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it and keep listening
yes.
to the show.
And oh, I hope thank you so much.
I
Jim,
hope
my dad is a huge fan of Supernatural.
Oh.
And he got so excited when he knew that I was going to be calling into Priscilla's show. He is overjoyed. He loves it so much.
Well, what's his name? And we'll have Jim say something to him. And it'll be recorded.
Gary Glenn.
Oh, well, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Gary, thanks for being apparently the guy who watches Supernatural, because it seems like most of the show's fans are of the female persuasion, so I'm always
Woo-hoo!
Happy to meet a guy who knows the show and likes it.
So there you go. Now you'll have to download the show and send it to your father.
He's probably like listening live and like peeing in his pants right now. He's just so excited.
Well, I will pluck one of Jim's hairs before he leaves. And
yes, put it in a bag and mail it to him, please.
And give it to
him. That's kind of creepy, but.
Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll ask him to do an autograph. And
that's so nice. He'd be overjoyed with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. That's for listening to the show. So thank you for being a listener.
Thanks so much, Priscilla.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Jim. Bye.
Okay. Well, God, we've had some really good questions, but I want to get to some more questions. Now, what characteristic traits do you feel that it takes to become successful in acting. I would say, for example, one of them, you would have to be patient because it takes a long time to get there. Sometimes you're lucky. What other characteristic traits do you feel that you need? Because not just like when you go to America, you watch American Idol and you see all these people in the audition process and they think they can sing their ass off. They're like, oh, hell, uh-huh. When I get up there, I'm going to be able to sing. And they get up there and they cannot sing worse shit. You know, it's true. And there are actors like that. They think they're the best thing since Campbell's soup. And yet, God bless them and their mothers, they can't act. What do you feel are the characteristic traits that you need if somebody says, you know what, I don't think acting's for you?
Well,
should you listen? I mean, what if you really are, or should you
somebody,
go follow your dream, though? What about the follow your dream?
Well, I mean, everybody young starts out doing stuff that they're later ashamed of. If they're reasonably intelligent, they're ashamed of it later. I look back at some of my early TV appearances and I think, oh my gosh, why didn't somebody shoot me? How did I get away with doing that? But I'm really, really dedicated to the joint propositions of preparation and growth. And I, you know, the moment I say, I think I've learned everything I need to know about acting, I hope somebody does take me out and shoot me.
Right.
Because to me, it's an eternally growing process and I'm always working to get better. I like to work with people who are better than me because I learn from them. It doesn't do me much good to work with people who are worse than me. But you know, self-awareness is vital to success, but it's not a common trait. I don't know that people who audition horribly, as you described, have enough self-awareness to realize that, because the ones who are self-aware will know that this ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess if people tell you that they got problems with your work, then eventually you got to start listening.
That's the problem. I don't think enough people are honest with people. A lot of times you go to these casting workshops. Now, granted, the ones I go to, you do have to audition to get in. Mm-hmm. But I have gone to some where you could just pay the money and go. Mm-hmm. And they get up there and they're... And I mean, it's my opinion, but I don't think that they should be doing it. That's not the career for them. But instead, the casting person will say, oh, okay, that's great. Okay, that was really great.
Well,
and even when they go in the audition, they say, and I know, of course, they're not going to sit there and say, oh, they don't have time for that. But with the casting workshops, when you go and you pay your $40, your $50, which is what actors, by the way, should be doing, because that's another great way for you to be seen. A lot of people are cast that way. What do you feel about that? I mean,
well, I think honesty is kind of hard to come by when it comes to being appraised by someone. People don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you find out for yourself? What if you're not good, but you're not self-aware, but yet?
Well, okay, get yourself in a theater workshop, not necessarily to be in productions, but to be working on your craft, where mm-hmm. your fellow actors and a teacher or a coach are looking at your work and critiquing it, not for the point of getting you cast in something, not as a general appraisal of your abilities, but to look at the work you did and get feedback on what people thought of it. Pretty soon, your fellow actors are going to tell you, because mm-hmm. I've discovered that in those workshops, anytime anyone is asked for an opinion, they will give one, mm-hmm. whether they have one or not.
Yeah.
So, and then listen. Now, sure, a lot of times you're going to get negative comments from... I remember the very first comment I got, very first critique I got from another actor at the workshop at Theater West many, many years ago. I did this monologue, and the very first person who commented on it, his entire comment was, "Are you wearing lifts?"
Lifts?
And, well, this was a really short guy.
Ah.
And he was not happy with how tall I was.
Oh.
Now, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who will give you that sort of thing, who give you that kind of response. But for the most part, what you will get is honest feedback about your work. And eventually, that combined with whether people want to work with you, if you're in a theater company and nobody wants to do a scene with you,
that's a clue.
That's a clue.
There you go. That's a little clue for ya.
You can't really.
Yeah, and if you go to audition after audition after audition and you're not getting booked for something, something's wrong.
Well, yes and no.
Right?
I mean, in the sense that.
Unless they're
it's
going.
It's such a highly competitive business. Everybody's going to auditions and not getting cast. But if you're lucky, you sometimes get feedback from the casting directors. Not so much directly, but through your agents. I remember years ago having a casting director call my agent after I had auditioned for a sitcom, and her exact words were, "I thought you said this guy was funny."
Oh.
And now that hit me so hard, right in the gut. And I sent her an invitation to the opening of, to the first taping of my very first series, which was a sitcom.
No.
but the fact is, as much as that hurt, I also looked at it and went, okay, what did I not bring to that audition?
Right.
Rather than, oh, she's an idiot. She would know funny if she saw it.
Mm-hmm.
She would know funny if she saw it. Maybe she didn't see it in me, but maybe I didn't show it to her.
Right. And you know, everybody's different. If you line 10 people up, there's going to be 10 people give 10 different opinions. So it really is kind of the luck of the draw if you get in front of somebody who really feels that
listen
you're
to the people around you.
Listen to the people
who are working as hard as you are trying to get work.
That's
Let them see your work and.
And ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Now, we are almost out of time. We've got about 3 minutes, and I want to talk about your book, Life's That Way. In 3 minutes, because you're the expert, can you tell us what inspired you to write the book, what the book's about, and what do you hope to achieve from the book today?
Okay. Well, in a very brief period of time in 2003, my 2-year-old daughter was diagnosed as autistic, and my wife was diagnosed with lung cancer. And Life's That Way is a journal of that year. And it came about by my sending nightly emails to family and friends telling them what was going on, because I couldn't spend 14 hours a day telling everybody we knew what happened today, what's going to happen tomorrow. And those emails went from being kind of a nightly newsletter to being a journal of the experience. And people began to pass them around to other people, and those people passed them on to other people. And pretty soon I had 4,000 or 5,000 people a night reading my emails. And that's basically it. It's the story of our family going through a very difficult time. And coming out the other end with life ahead of us. And that's what the title means. It's not about equality. It's about a direction.
And you know what? You should remember that for your auditions, too. If you don't get it, well, life's that way. Now, this is a book you definitely want to read, and there's a website dedicated to this book. It's Life's That Way. Life's That Way. That's a hard thing for me to say. Life'sThatWay.com. And I want everybody listening to the show today to get a copy of this book. It's worth it. You listen to Jim Beaver. He's insightful. He's dynamic, but yet he's sensitive and genuine. And I think think that reading this is really going to help you. So please go and get this book today. It's at Amazon. It's at most bookstores. It's Life's That Way. And we want to thank you so much, Jim, for being on the show today. I wish we had another hour because, my God, I got so many questions. We were on so many shows together. I was on 6 Feet Under. I know you were on 6 Feet Under. I did Pushing Daisies. Did you do Pushing Daisies?
I didn't do Pushing Daisies.
You did 6 Feet Under. You did Monk, Psych.
Mm-hmm.
He was on all my favorite shows and shows that I was on, too. Of course, my characters were very different. I used to be an actor and a hot plus-size model back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we want to thank you so much. Will you maybe possibly come on the show next year?
Sure.
I'm going to book a spot for you. Sure. Will you come back
on? I may
be
unemployed next year.
Oh, good. So then I'll pay you to come on next year. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Mr. Jim Beaver, you can find him on IMDb.com, and we got him committed to come on the show next year. And we want to thank you so much, everybody that called in. Thank you, Jim Beaver. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful time, and join us next week for Question Reality. Remember, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can always become what you want to be. Question your reality. Put those damn papers down. Blow that job off. Tell your boss to kiss your ass. Say, I'm going to go be an actor. Hey now, see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.